Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today is not Clinton Matos, as you might be able to see, ladies and gentlemen. First up, to introduce a new team member, is Robin Lee Chetty. Hey, Robin, how are you doing?
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Good. Nice to have you here with us. Robin is now a permanent fixture on htxt.africa, so you can check out all his stories. We'll have a link to his author page at the bottom of this post. And yeah, just follow him and be nice. And then, please be nice. And then joining us, I think you're part of the old guard of this podcast at this point, is Byron Trent, marketing manager for MSI South Africa. How are you doing, Byron?
Good, man. Yourself?
Good. Are you sick again?
Yeah, I'm pretty sick, man. This weekend took its toll.
Well, let's actually get into that right away so that we can spare you and your sickness. You were at Rush this weekend. How was that?
It was pretty cool. It was a three-day event focused on esports. Obviously attended as MSI in partnership with EVTech and NVIDIA. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. a lot of setup, a lot of stuff to do from our end. I mean, a lot of people obviously don't realize what goes into those. You know, as consumers, you go there and there's things to play with, but there's all the carrying and setting up and all that. So,
how long did it take you guys to set up the show?
Well, I mean, look, there's different aspects to it. I mean, the planning in that usually takes a few weeks or, you know, worst case scenario, a month. But in terms of like the physical setup, it was only about a day, although EVTech was setting up the systems about a week ago.
Okay. And it was a different venue this time around.
Yeah, it was.
And how was the change up there?
It was pretty cool. I think like the, you know, compared to, I think it was the Sandton Convention Center last year. Look, most people are used to seeing gaming events in Joburg, so it's definitely become a norm, even for people that are living in, you know, Pretoria, Centurion, Roodepoort, wherever you are. You know, people know that Joburg is generally the central place, so there was a little bit less people than last year, because obviously, I wouldn't say it's about, like, it's not nobody's fault. It's the first time, it's the first gaming event there of this magnitude. There was still a decent attendance, don't get me wrong. But it was a nicer venue. It was much smaller, but not smaller to the degree that things are missing. Smaller that it's more tight-knit, that you can see everything that's going on at the same time. There's no like empty spaces. You know?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the problems with the Sandton Convention Center is that it's too big. And I know a lot of people, I'm diverting a little bit here, but a lot of people are like, oh, Rage is too small. It needs to be at the NASRIC Convention Center. Yeah. And I don't agree with that, because that place is way too big. Even just one of those halls is way too massive, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, after Rage of 3 days, how sore are your legs?
So sore. So sore.
It's crazy. And that's the thing. Like, you don't realize how much, like, walking around you do. Because it's just, I mean, even think of our stand. Our stand was, you know, not even 100 meters squared in total.
Yeah.
And my calves practically seized at the end of the weekend just from going from one side to the other constantly.
My gosh.
So bad. But, no, look, it was very cool. It's very, like, I mean, I wouldn't say gaming. Esports is a very tight-knit community in South Africa.
Yeah.
And it would be pointless to have, you know, a giant, like, you know, Coliseum put aside and there's like five people in it. There's only five, but, you know. Look, the venue was really cool. I live in Pretoria, so for me it was
great.
First time ever I can get home in 5 minutes. So that was so cool.
So what was MSL? What were you guys doing at Rush? To give us an idea.
Basically, the guys at Rush, you know, they're obviously the same people that set up Rage every year. And this is the second Rush that they've had now. So I think it was, 2017 was the first one, like we mentioned, at Sandton Convention Center. They contacted me to ask me, like, you know, do you guys want to do anything there? And it was amazing, because I think it was roughly February of this year, I wanted to do something surrounding Quake Champions.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like the wrong time. Like, we went through the whole process. We were planning, you know, what prizes, how many people, that kind of thing. And we were a little bit scared, because there wasn't a massively active community in South Africa. Quake's always been active. Everyone knows the game.
Yeah.
It's a resurgence of it. And at the same time, like, today's, you know, the millennials and that kind of thing aren't really the Quake players. They're the Fortnite players and such. So Look, we wanted to do it. We had everything planned, and eventually we didn't end up hosting that tournament. It was just not the right time.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I just, like, a part of me was like, we really need to do this. You know, this whole idea was set. I really want to do something surrounding Quake. And they reached out to us and said, do you want to do something at Rush? And we said, well, let's try it. You know, if we can lose a lot, let's be honest. But at the same time, it's like, sometimes you've got to just do a leap of faith, you know?
Yeah.
And we announced the online qualifiers, I think it was about, you know, roughly a month ago.
Yeah.
And almost like full 32 seed. I think we had 29 players, so pretty close to 32. We were only expecting like maybe 16 players. That would be pretty good, you know? And I mean, remember, it's like, it's a game that there hasn't been any tournaments for in this country.
Yeah.
And you only need 8 players to do a tournament. So the fact that there was 29 actual players competing, going through the online qualifiers and all that was awesome. And in terms of the online qualifiers, what was also pretty cool about it was the day that the online qualifiers went live was the day that the game was announced free to play.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was the day that, like, Dr. Disrespect started playing it.
Yeah.
It exploded. I think the game went from something like 1,000 concurrent players to, like, 20,000 in a day. It was pretty
interesting. Yeah, it's really funny because a couple of my mates actually started playing it when it went free. They were like, oh, you have to download this. I'm like, I suck at first-person shooters. I still downloaded it, though, because free game. You know?
Well, this is the thing. So, obviously, I mean, like anything new, look at Pokemon Go, for instance. I mean, it went crazy amounts of people playing it, and then it died down. But at the same time, by saying it died down, there's still a massively active community around Pokemon Go. And we've already seen that with Quake. So, obviously, there was a massive amount of people on the sign-up of, like, free-to-play, and it died down. But I wouldn't say it died. Like, it diminished to the degree that people maybe don't really like that game.
It kind of stabilized.
Exactly. But it stabilized further than the point it was on before. I mean, we're already sitting on, like, 5 to 10 times the player base now, which is great.
Yeah.
So, anyway, to not go on for that for too long, basically, we ended up planning, like, an entire physical event for, like, LAN finals around Quake. That would happen on Saturday, but the Friday and Sunday were other activities. So Friday was mostly, we had some influencers on our stage. It was Frankie B and Yanfo.
Yeah.
And EVTech managed a few giveaways, and, you know, people from audience were able to come on stage and play. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
And then Sunday was Dragon Ball FighterZ. And that was also.
How is that game doing locally? Are there quite a few people playing it?
Look, they are, but it's definitely something I noticed. Is it's more of a console community. So
okay.
There's definitely an active community around the game. There's definitely people playing it on PC too. I mean, that was the reason we did it. Is any controller you want to use, you just plug into USB, and it's practically plug and play at this point on PC.
Awesome.
But there's most of the players play it on PlayStation 4. So
okay.
There were a few guys who were hesitant to compete in the tournament or even just sign up because they said, no, I don't own a PC and that. Like, yes, but... like,
just use the controller.
Yeah, use your controller. We're trying to encourage you to maybe, well, even if you don't end up moving over, see the other side of life. Like,
yeah.
See what it's like. You know? I'm not going to PCMR. But, yeah. So Sunday was Dragon Ball FighterZ and Saturday was Quake, and then Friday was obviously other activities. But it was really cool because, you know, both Dragon Ball FighterZ and Quake haven't seen, like, a massive screen stage set up in, you know, before, actually, ever. So, well, in South Africa, obviously.
Yeah, in South Africa, at least. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really nice, and it's really cool that you guys would be involved in esports, being a PC gaming brand, or gaming PC brand, rather.
The best one.
I saw that there were very few live streams at Rush, though. Do you know why that is? Why so few people live streamed?
I think, do you mean from the like, let's say, tournament organizer perspective?
Yeah, from the tournament organizer perspective.
I think, look, a lot of it was coming down to, like, what are the different aspects and games and that kind of thing that can be added to what was already planned. So the Vodacom event that was there, the main one, was the CSGO. That went smoothly. Metal States obviously organized it and everything, and that was live streamed. That was good.
Yeah.
They actually had the biggest crowd that was there as well. I mean, Counter-Strike is really massive in South Africa. Everyone knows that by now.
if you don't, now you do.
Exactly. So I mean, that was live stream, but there were other games that were kind of just like a layer on top of the event to make sure the event was better and there was more activity. So, I mean, if I think of, like, the racing games and that, there isn't really a big community of people that watch that in South Africa.
Well, fair enough.
So just think about the costs that go behind this. I mean, if you're going to set up, let's say, a physical event where people can play, you need, let's say, the systems, whatever that they're using, and some way for audience to watch it. But you could technically just, you know, plug in an HDMI cable to a TV and now your audience can watch.
Share the screen,
Exactly. In terms of the streaming aspect to it, you're going to have someone that sits there and manages the stream. You're going to have overlays. You're going to have, you know, an XSplit or OBS, you know, set up. A system that's decent enough for that. There's the internet complications.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, that was, to be fair, that's one of the things that I was most happy about this weekend. I mean, every event, and it's not specifically Rage or anything like it, every event I've ever been to, there's always been some form of connectivity issue.
Yeah.
It's just life. Things like that happen. And
especially life here at the southern tip of Africa.
Exactly. And what was crazy is we live streamed our Quake Champions, I think it was, all the qualifiers and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
The quarterfinals and semifinals and that. And no frame drops. And then we also did it to two outbound streams to MSI and EVTech and zero frame drop.
Like,
no internet connectivities at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Vodacom.
That was cool. The only thing we had issues with was the fact that Quake's not really pre-alpha, but still in its infancy in terms of the game engine, I guess, maybe. I don't know the exact details, but we had a few issues where, let's say, the players would go into a lobby, the casters would go into a lobby, and then as soon as the match started, the casters were still sitting in the lobby.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like, guys, it's not our internet, it's not our systems. Like,
it's the game. You know?
So that was a bit of a disappointment, but we figured out how to, we figured out just restart the game each time for the players, that kind of thing. It's obviously a game issue. And it went smoothly after we figured out what the issue was. And, I mean, those casters were amazing. It was Extremes and Haze, like, wow, they're not Quake casters.
Yeah.
And if anyone goes and watches the live stream of those games, you would not think that.
Can you watch them on? Are there VODs of the streams?
Yes, they are. So everything up till the actual grand finals. Well, actually, no. Everything's on EVTech's page.
Okay.
So I think it's facebook.com/EVTech.
Okay, right.
And then if you want to watch the grand finals, basically facebook.com/MSIGaming.
Fantastic. We'll link all of those down at the bottom of this podcast.
But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, if you have a game that has a viewership, it's obviously worth streaming that game. So we're trying to build the community of Quake.
Yeah.
But like Dragon Ball FighterZ, we didn't stream it either because we thought, I mean, how many people want to go watch that game when most of the community's console gamers who go and play it physically?
Yeah.
So, and to begin with, I think people that watch streams are generally PC gamers, not console players.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a wrong generalization from me, but that's kind of the
impression that you get.
The impression I get.
Yeah. That's really awesome, and it's nice to see that esports is kind of surging. I wanted to say growing, but that's the wrong word. I kind of feel like there's the surge in interest in esports, not just from a viewership perspective, but from a corporate perspective as well.
Yeah.
I see a lot more companies. I mean, Vodacom. Like, I know that Telkom has just been involved with gaming since DGL. They've now got VS Gaming. But, like, for Vodacom, which has always, to my mind, been the business brand, look at my suit and tie, for them to get behind this, I think, is a really big move. It's kind of, to me, it kind of looks like, mainstream people are starting to get into esports.
Yeah.
And it's really, really nice to see that, even though I wish that it had happened sooner so that I wasn't the idiot. Like, I watch games.
No, I mean, that's
competitive gaming.
This is the thing. Like, I think there's definitely there's a separation of like what it used to be and what it is now in terms of even the stigma behind gaming.
Yeah.
I mean, I just look back to, I think I was like 14, 15 years old. I used to play Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, Counter-Strike Source online practically every day after school. And my parents were just like, come on, like, what are you doing with your life? You can't do that. Go study, go play outside, you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, it's the craziest thing to think of, just Fortnite. It's the biggest game in the world right now.
125 million players.
That was like a few weeks ago. It's probably bigger than that by now, you know. And just think of it this way. If you watch any meme practically on Facebook right now of a kid below the age of 13, he's probably dancing to some Fortnite move.
Yeah.
Which just kind of shows you how massive it's become. And you know, I made a joke the other day that I said, you know, when I was like 13 years old, if I danced like that, I would have got beaten up. Like in our kind of time, you know, that wasn't the in thing as a guy. But now it's become mainstream to play games, to be part of this community is the norm. And
to care.
Yes, and parents are becoming more accepting of it, although obviously there's the side of the media with, like, you know, the game addiction and that kind of thing, but that's always going to happen. I mean, Pokemon was evil, and there's always people against
There's always everything. Somebody against something, yeah.
Exactly, but, you know, what's great about it is now, you know, parents are accepting it, children are getting more access to it, although there has to be some form of a balance. I mean, yeah. That's one thing.
Everything in moderation.
For sure. I mean, addiction is a real thing,
yeah.
But you can be addicted to chocolate too, you know. And there's the other side too is that I say, I've always been saying this, is companies like ourselves, I mean, MSI Gaming, and there's, you know, our competitors and that too, have always been involved in gaming in terms of activities, esports events, online tournaments, that kind of thing. And we can only do so much from our end because it's the people that are already involved with our brand.
Yeah.
So think if MSI wants to do something, the people we're reaching out to are gamers because they're the ones that like our page.
Yeah.
But it's the mainstream audience that don't really know what gaming is that you need to try to, you know, pull in. And I've always said that the second FNB and those kind of guys on board with gaming, you'll know that it's made it.
Yeah.
Because those are the brands that need to, you know, assist us in growing the scene, because they, I mean, who doesn't have a bank account?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Not everyone is a gamer, but everyone can be a gamer.
So it's that push towards greater ubiquity, as it were, is when these mainstream brands start realizing, oh, this is getting as many viewers as Wimbledon. I mean, like, I think the last year's TI prize pool was bigger than the prize pool for Wimbledon, which is just blew my mind
it's
completely.
Bigger than everything, let's
yeah,
be honest.
It's bigger than, I don't even know what it is at the moment. I looked at it this morning and I was like, oh, it's huge. Big surprise.
Could you imagine that in your bank account?
Oh, like, man.
Just 0000. It's crazy.
Steam sale? I'll buy Steam.
Yeah, you buy Steam with that.
But, yeah.
But look, this is the thing is that, you know, I've been saying for years that the second that happens, you'll know it's gone mainstream. And there's always been these guys that show you these presentations, you know, esports growing by this and
yeah.
I'm like, sure, I already know this. I'm in the industry. But it's the day that you know that these lifestyle brands are on board that big things start happening. And it's happening now. And, I mean, we even had people speak to us this weekend that I'm sure you guys maybe heard, like, last year there were quite a few I'm trying to remember what brands it were. It was, like, football brands overseas, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, esports players, and, you know, because it's become so mainstream. And South Africa is apparently in the stage of looking into it. And in some of the, like, insider meetings that they're having in, you know, South African rugby and that, the biggest trend in sport right now – esports.
But I mean, it's huge though. If you just look at the amount of money that is behind it, I'm not even talking from a prize pool perspective here. I'm talking about, like, I just saw some of the pictures of Metal State stage at Rush this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this looks like an international stage. That must have cost really a lot impressive. Of money to put together. But in my mind, I was like, oh, but they must have that money because they got sponsors, they got this and that, and all of these things. And I'm like, okay. How much money is the scene making now? I'm not trying to be like, oh, how much money are you making it back? It's genuinely interesting to me to see how much money is going into making esports a thing. It's already a thing.
Let's put it this way. Look at the brand Razer as an example. I think they've apparently made like a loss for 10 years in a row. They've like never had a year that they make money.
Yeah.
Because it's more of like investing in what gaming will become.
Okay.
Because everyone knows without a doubt that gaming will be huge one day.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many brands are coming on board and starting to have gaming products. I mean, like just speaking of them, all of a sudden they have a phone too. And I mean, MSI is focused on gaming like practically solely at this stage. We used to do, you know, little netbooks and EEE PCs and that kind of thing. And now gaming is becoming so mainstream that everyone understands that if you're on it now and you make a name for yourself now, when, you know, it becomes a big thing later. Like, imagine you had the opportunity to make a competitor to Coca-Cola the day that they opened. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, I would do it.
Trillionaire. You know, and this is the thing that everyone knows gaming is going to become big. It is big, but compared to traditional sports in South Africa, it's obviously not as big yet. But then you got to think of it this way. Let's take traditional sports. How many products can you tie to them? I mean, sure, every rugby player uses a laptop, but they're not really putting it in front of them. All of them maybe have a cell phone, but they're never going to put it in front of them. And these are the things that endorsements in traditional sports have to be endorsements. They have to be like a sideline thing that happens in a nice shoot with a guy with his shirt off and he's like, yeah, and he's got a Powerade or whatever the case is. But like,
does a that hugely start? Scripted thing.
This is the thing. And in terms of esports, I think that's what's really cool is there's so many products and different ranges of things that the players actually use. I mean, from the chair to the PC to even now, like, you get the gaming desks and things
and
like
that. And the mouse mats. I mean, crazy. Like, yeah, you could monetize almost everything at an esports event.
And you can throw RGB on it too.
Exactly. And that's what sells PCs, ladies and gentlemen.
It really does.
RGB. It's really an interesting time in South Africa. And I'm glad that Rush happened again this year. I was a little bit worried after last year that it wouldn't happen again. But then we got the announcement earlier this year that it's coming back. I'm also glad that they changed the venue. I hope that that becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Because it might be really interesting to have Rush kind of this moving esports festival moving throughout the country. So, I mean, we had it in Joburg, Pretoria, move it to Durban, Bloemfontein. Because I think that's one of the main things for me is getting people access into esports. Because, I mean, so the big detractor, the big thing that everybody always says, why would you watch somebody else play games? Or why would you watch anybody else play sport? You know, like, why do you watch the World Cup? Why don't you just go kick a ball?
Yeah.
Hey? Exactly.
I mean, it's like, why do you watch series? Why don't you just go outside?
Yeah, exactly. Could say anything to dismiss something. But I think that, like, especially with Fortnite and PUBG Mobile, you've got all these mobile games coming out. It makes it a lot more accessible to people, especially Fortnite, because now I don't need a PC, I don't need a console, I can use my phone. Sure, it's not the greatest. I'm speaking from my experience with PUBG Mobile here, which was terrible to control. But, I mean, it was fun, and it was a decent experience. And I'm sure if I put my mind to it, I could learn how to game proficiently on a smartphone.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that a lot of people forget about, is that smartphones these days are becoming a lot more powerful. And perhaps that's the catalyst that people need to kind of get into the scene and go, oh, okay, well, I could make some money off of this.
I agree.
Or, like, and that's the thing. Like, when you said, oh, your parents said to you, oh, you'll never, why are you doing this? You'll never make money from this.
Yes, mom and dad.
It's actually a viable career now. I mean, sure, you need to, the stars need to align this happening with that. But I think that it is a viable career, especially if you look at things like Twitch, things like Facebook streaming. Facebook's game streaming platform has improved tenfold since it launched. You've got YouTube, there are so many platforms. And then you have things like Rush as well. We have Comic-Con coming up and Rage and all these things. I think that it's like you said, it's one of those things. If you get in now, you're gonna be set when it does explode.
Well, the thing is, anything in life gets attached to a brand when the brand becomes that product.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, example is, I don't ever say pass me a plastic packet. I always say a Checkers packet.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, that brand, you know, as a kid, it was always a Checkers packet.
Yeah.
And
pass me the tablet, pass me the iPad.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing, that a lot of these brands want to get known for something. And they already have. I mean, MSI and Asus and Razer as an example. I've already mentioned all of those brands.
Yeah.
Everyone knows them as gaming brands. And there's others that are trying to get on board. Some of them are succeeding. Some of them are failing. And I think there's a little bit of a... I mean, it's a positive and a negative from my side, because it's a positive thing to try to grow a community and make more things happen, you know, so more events and more activities and those kind of things. But there's a negative to it when you have a kind of a flush of too many things coming in at the same time. I mean, an example of this is, let's imagine now Quake only has 64 players in the entire country. It isn't the case. I know there's more than that. But then all of a sudden I had a 1v1 and a 2v2 tournament running concurrently, where you can't enter both tournaments and you need, let's say, 64 players for both.
Ooh,
what do you do?
Yeah.
Because this is what's happening a lot of the time, is there's too many tournament organizers, too many games, too many things, too many layers, too many leagues happening at the same time.
I hear you.
And it's great for the players, because obviously, you know, if you want to become self-sustaining and make money, you can't just have like the Wimbledon once a year and be done.
Yeah.
Especially not in South Africa, because these brands need return on investment on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
But the way I see it is, what South Africa needs is more quality and not necessarily quantity.
Yeah.
We definitely need more of these, like what Metal State did with the Samsung and that, more events that can allow players to get involved. But also, I think people need to be a little bit more humbled and step back a second and say, look, if I'm not the best at this, let me not do it. Because there's too many guys going, I'm just going to host a tournament tomorrow. And even I've been guilty of that once or twice in my life too. And it doesn't always help the scene, because if there's going to be too many things going on at once, especially, you know, two concurrent events that's happened in South Africa, I'd rather not mention what, it ends up kind of cannibalizing each other.
And
that's one thing I really hope improves over the next, you know, year or two, is that I love to see these events. I love to see brands on board. But
space them out.
Space them out and don't cannibalize each other, because it doesn't help.
Just from a viewer perspective, like, I mean, I would love to go and watch, let's, for an example, say there's a Dota tournament and a CSGO tournament on at the same time. I don't think that was the case. I hope let's say that there's those two tournaments. I want to watch both, but I can't because they're happening at the same time on the same day. Yeah. Now, what am I to do? Like,
Two screens, man.
I do have PC two screens. Masters. I only have one set of speakers.
And then your cell phone and your iPad. And, look, I mean, this is the thing. I think quality and quantity obviously need to be controlled, like, you know, regardless of each other. But it's more of just one of those things that what I'm worried is there's too many things happening at once, and people just think it's great for the scene to just throw as many things as possible. The problem with this is when someone goes and puts something on a brand and they fail at that, it doesn't help the brand, it doesn't help the audience, it doesn't help the scene.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that, like, our example of Quake, like, are we going to cast it? Are we going to get professional casters? Mm. Are we actually going to stream this? Is our stream going to be good enough? Okay, sure, it's not the most perfect, but what is the minimum entry point for us to say, okay, this is worth doing? Because if you're just going to have, you know, 50 different games happening with two people in each, why didn't you just do one tournament?
Yeah.
And that's why, like, something like Rush, I'm glad it is more smaller in terms of, like, the physical space, because you can't have too many activities.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, maybe it's not really related, but, like, as example, when I used to go to, you know, to Rage when I was younger. And as a kid, you can't go to every single stand looking for the free stuff. There's just too many things at once. And although an event like that, it makes sense because it becomes, like, exciting to try to get to everything. In terms of an esports event, you can't have too many tournaments happening at once.
Yeah.
Because then which do you go watch? Which do you sit down at? And thankfully, there were only a few tournaments happening at Rush. I think the next step would be to take those tournaments and make them bigger. And from last year, I mean, they have already done that. So Rush, in my opinion, is a success.
Yeah.
I don't care if only two people walk in the door, as long as they have a great time and the right things happen in the correct way. But when you have a tournament and it doesn't succeed and money goes into it and it isn't organized properly, it doesn't help the scene.
It's more damaging than anything else. It is. I mean, it would be better to just not have a tournament there at that point. That's some really good advice, though, and I do agree with you. I think it's something that you need to plan out and think about really hard before you just go, oh, let's organize a tournament. Because it does seem like these tournaments pop out of nowhere, but that is most definitely not the case. The way these tournaments are organized, the work that goes into them,
some of them. Hopefully, I wouldn't even say hopefully. Thankfully, the better part of them are.
Yeah, the large majority of them seem to be organized really well.
Yep.
The stories of, oh no, look how terrible this tournament was and how badly it was organized, are very few and far between. They do still happen. I am aware of that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see that there are some responsible folk in the scene. And I think that's another point I wanted to touch on, is that the scene is so small at the moment. Everybody's really friendly to each other for the most part. There are some times where I look at my Twitter feed and just roll my eyes because somebody's at somebody else's throat. But anyway, for the most part, people are really nice and welcoming. And if you need some advice, reach out to them and say, hey, man, I'm thinking of organizing a tournament. Do you have any advice? Hey, this is a really cool idea. You know, talk to people, I think, is the big thing.
Well, I think this is something that I've always been you know, like, trying to encourage in the gaming community. Is a lot of people speak about collaboration, and sure, everyone understands what collaboration is, but I don't even think it's collaboration. I just think it's, like, mutual respect that needs to happen more often, where as one brand, you can speak to another and say, what are you doing? And, like, not to help them or anything like that. It's just to find out what they're doing so you don't cannibalize each other, because if you do, it's not going to help you either. And the thing is, there's a lot of people that want to go, mine's the biggest, mine's the best. Everyone wants to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because, like, I was this, but no, like, but this is the thing. Like, if you're just going to have that mentality the whole time, no one's ever going to succeed because everyone's always just going to push over each other and nothing's like going to work out.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be a situation where it's like, okay, like you say, there's going to be Dota and there's going to be Counter-Strike. They're not the same game, but yeah. they're the same community.
Yeah.
People don't believe it is, but it's definitely the same community.
Yeah.
And you need to say, okay, this one happens this weekend or this one happens this day and the other happens a different.
Yeah.
Because you want everyone to enjoy it together and mm-hmm. you want everyone to work together for a common goal. And the common goal is to grow esports, to grow these brands, and to allow the players to make it a salary, because we're seeing that every year now. One clan pops up here and there and all of a sudden they have salaries.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, how sustainable is that if there's too many people doing it? And I think a strange thing is, like, someone had this discussion with me recently. They said, how many, like, esports teams do you know from, like, a specific country? I was like, wait, what do you mean? And they're like, no. Like, so Na'Vi, it's, like, Ukraine or whatever. It's like, how many other esports teams do you know there? I was like, I don't. I said, that's the thing. Like, in South Africa, everyone is trying to fight for that top spot.
Yeah, everybody's trying to be bravado.
Well, no, this is the thing. Like, you can have Bravado, you can have Energy, you can have Goliath, you can yeah. have a lot of these brands. And I think South Africa, especially because we see ourselves as Africa to some degree, we could have like 5 or 6 different MGOs that have international recognition.
Yeah.
But the problem is when you have 50 different teams all fighting for the space, and I don't mean fighting for it in terms of trying to earn their space, because that's worthwhile, but like contacting these brands and trying to say, no, you shouldn't be working with them. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Because you can only have so many teams that succeed. Rather join their team than go and create another one now all of a sudden. Because every week I see another team popping up and we're the best. And it's like, dude, that's not the case. If you're not good enough to be an Energy or Bravado or whatever, fight your way up to get there.
Yeah.
But don't all of a sudden now go and open another MGO. And like, we have too many. We really do have too many, because like, as MSI and ASUS and that, how are they supposed to sponsor 700 MGOs?
You just can't do that. You just can't.
And it's a trust thing. Like, we've been working with you know, like, certain teams for a very long time, and we trust them. We can't just go, you're this random person, but because you won one match, we'll provide it to you.
Yeah.
So I think, like, a lot of people need to be more understanding and humbled and say, look, if I'm not the best, I'm not the best. I'll fight my way to get there, but I shouldn't just go and, like, stab the other guy to get what he has.
Yeah.
And it is improving. I mean, I've seen, you know, like this weekend, it was actually such a cool thing to see. There was two of the guys playing Dragon Ball FighterZ, and like, it was the most amazing experience. I caught it on camera, where like afterwards the one guy lost and he was the first one to go up and like cheer on the other guy and like,
oh wow,
be like, congratulations, you deserved it.
Good sportsmanship.
Yeah, and I'm like, there is definitely sportsmanship in esports in South Africa, like 100%. But there's the like 2% that try to ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my message to them is like, what are you doing? Like, why?
What's your end goal here? What's the end game?
Like, that doesn't need to be happening in this country. Is, you know, we have enough things to worry about. Yeah. Like, rather just
fight. Let's all just play games and be friendly.
Yeah, like, get noticed, get better at the game, and try to be part of one of those top 8 or 16 MGOs. And I think that's like, once that happens and we actually have these MGOs that can expand to the degree that like the best players are only in them,
rather
than just like scattered because everyone wants to move from one to another for the next keyboard or mouse, then it can be a situation where it's like, okay, these brands are happy with that. What can the brands provide? How many more tournaments? And even then, it's like, I think something that's scary is how many games are being encouraged that are multiple players. Like, I love Dota and Counter-Strike. I mean, that's like my esports heritage. Like, Dota 1 and CS 1.6, even before 1.6, you know?
Yeah.
But I do also understand that, like, one of the hardest things to maintain is 5 or 6 players.
Yeah.
And you look at something like Quake, you could be the best and just be singular and succeed. And I think my encouragement to a lot of the, you know, the esports organizers and the players is start building these games that are singular, because once those succeed, we can start expanding outward. And I'm afraid that like too much happened in Counter-Strike and Dota that, I mean, just think of prize pools. You got to split it down 15 ways just for top 3 spots.
Yeah.
That's what that really hurts. But I'm not saying Counter-Strike shouldn't happen. Don't get me wrong. I love the game. I love Dota too, but you know, more games start coming out, don't all of a sudden look for the game that's a 7-player game.
Yeah.
Like Hearthstone makes sense. It's 1v1. Quake yeah. makes sense.
And then you can also have smaller prize pools. You don't need yeah. to have a million rand prize pool that gets split amongst their teams.
Think there is a million. Think of a million rand and three people win.
Oh, gosh.
Does that not become sustainable
yes.
for the player?
Please.
I mean, I look at some of the tournaments that were happening, and you know, a player wins something like 5,000 rand for coming first. Our Quake tournament, the guy that came first won a 20,000 rand laptop. I mean, it's like, this is the thing. The 20,000 rand laptop doesn't sound as big as like 100, 200,000 rand prize pool, but it all comes down to like how much can the players actually get for themselves.
Yeah.
And I think as players, I encourage them, start focusing on the games that you know you can be really good at and grow those communities together, because... And like singularly, even if you want to work as a team, I mean, StarCraft 2v2, why doesn't it exist anymore in this country?
Yeah.
It's so sad because there was like a huge amount of people that used to watch StarCraft, and it's a really like amazing skill gap game from yeah. like top to bottom. But like there's no audience for it anymore because no one's doing anything in it. And I've noticed South Africans jump to whatever has the best prizes.
Yeah.
That's like the viewership, the players, everything like that. The second there's a prize announced for something, they're going to jump ship to it. There's always going to be the games that are staple. Counter-Strike, Dota, League of Legends. Everyone yeah. will play it forever. But when other games come on board, it's like it's only because there's a prize that they work.
Yeah.
And I really believe that like players and organizers should start thinking of like the games that are smaller. Like even FIFA, the fact that like someone took home 500,000 rand last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
for playing
that,
a couple of games,
sustainable for the player.
Yeah.
And imagine like he becomes a professional in it and he goes, this can be a career path for me.
Well, I mean, he went on to join the Kaizer Chiefs esports yeah. like academy. I think it's called. I can't remember the name, but he's like playing for a branded organization now. And
was
I think
it was it Orlando Pirates or Kaizer Chiefs?
I think it might have been Orlando Pirates. Actually,
I may have it wrong.
Somebody's phone is vibrating violently.
Sorry about that.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Always Byron.
Someone's trying to sell me a gym membership.
But that's actually a good cue.
I'm a gamer.
This is a good cue for us to actually close off for today. We've gone for an hour talking about esports.
Oh, wow.
It's great though. I love it. I love esports. So it's fantastic to talk about it. I'm really happy to hear that you had a good show, and I'm glad to hear that Rush was a success and successful. Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that, and I hope maybe Rush organizers think about my moving festival idea. You can have it for free. I won't even charge you for it.
A little bit closer to my house again next time.
So now you can have it in Pretoria CBD because you've had it in what?
Oh, like, don't do the CBD, bad idea.
All right, folks. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. It did become a bit esports related, but who cares? Esports is fantastic. So from myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio. From Robin.
Cheers.
And from Byron.
Cool. Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, guys. And we will see you next week. Peace.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.